The scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. I imagine some of it near the first few verses will sound very familiar to you. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Pray with me. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, take these very human words, and by the power and presence of your Spirit, transform them into your word to us this day. May we hear, understand, and obey. In Christ our Lord. Amen. Of all those resources that are available for those who would follow Jesus, I believe the number one most neglected resource is prayer. You know, you and I live in a hurried, action-oriented world, a world that focuses on outcomes and results rather than introspection and reflection. Thoughtful, personal, looking inside, as well as considering the future outcomes of practices and behaviors have become almost non-practiced. Because you see, the demands on the to-do list seem to be infinite in number and growing each and every day. Prayer, on the other hand, slows the world down. It takes you outside of yourself and ushers you directly into the presence and the power of Almighty God. It is a singular act of intimacy between you and your Creator, and it connects us in ways that nothing else in all the world can. But so often, we Presbyterians tend to keep it for foxholes and crises, and moments when we're afraid and sad and lost and lonely, instead of the times when we are filled with courage and strength. So the big question for this morning is very simple. It is the one that Corrie ten Boom asked. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? I remember not very long ago, it seems, that we were coming back from Orlando and our Disney vacation that you all have to take with your children. And I made it all the way to Cincinnati, and the group was getting grumpy because we were driving straight home. And we blew out the left rear tire. Now, I handled this with great effectiveness, pulled it off to the shoulder on the side of the road, immediately called AAA on my flip phone, okay, and found out it was going to take them an hour and a half to get there. So I decided to change the tire myself. Not a problem. I can do this. Got everybody out of the car, got them onto the side of the road. I went into the trunk, pulled up the rug, pulled up the thing that went over the top, and what did I find? No, I found this thing called a donut. All right, a donut. What in the world is a donut? On it, it said specifically in big letters, do not drive with this tire over 55 miles an hour. Well, I had that tire on in no time. And do you think I was going to go 55 from Cincinnati to Pittsburgh? No. And every time I went over 55, that car would do this. And so I drove 55, and it was a real, the grumps got grumpier, including all of them and me. And I think the worst of it was I kept being passed by every RV and tractor trailer on the highway. Oh Lord, that was painful, I assure you. So I ask you once again, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Granted, the lack of time, the constant demands, you can let that get to you. And eventually prayer becomes an optional recreational activity that you pursue in your leisure instead of a personal discipline that you practice on a day-by-day basis. Navigating the complex and confusing world of the 21st century is hard enough, but without prayer, it makes it 10 times more difficult, and it puts God on the sidelines. Sometimes, and I understand this, sometimes when you try to pray, it feels like you are babbling to yourself or talking into the air. I mean, sometimes it feels like it's not doing anything at all, and you wonder why you're doing it in the first place. I mean, hasn't anybody told you, listen, God knows everything. Why do you need to pray? He's got it all figured out. He's going to do whatever he wants anyway. I've heard that before, and I'm here to tell you that is not true. If you read in the scriptures, you'll notice that the result of prayer changed events, lives were altered, new possibilities appeared that were unthought of before. Jesus said it quite plainly, ask and it shall be given. God, you see, is a great respecter of human freedom. He made us in his image and in his likeness. He put his divine spark within us, and he created us as autonomous beings. God will never force you to do anything. God won't act unless you ask. John Wesley said it so well when he said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. God cannot and will not possess you like something evil. Even if you pray and God gives you his wisdom, you are the one in the end that must decide. That is the way God made us, because you see, no one can ever love anyone who isn't totally and radically free to not love the one who loves them. That is the risk of in actual fact loving another person. And prayer just fits inside the loop of God's love for all of us. In his infinite wisdom, God can and will do the things that we ask of God, but will not interfere with your freedom and your free will. If you do not ask, it cannot be given. And as was his custom, Jesus prayed regularly and often, sometimes alone, sometimes with his disciples, sometimes before meals, and sometimes just with a few others. His example is the example that you and I need to follow. He was very keen on prayer, and when times got the busiest and where times were at its worst, that's where you would have found him solidly on his knees praying to the Father. He taught his disciples how to pray because John was teaching theirs in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was the result. Jesus even shared parables about prayer. In the classic Jewish teaching method of his day, when one person would talk for hours to a group of other people, the bottom line is they used different techniques in order to help people pay attention. And one of them was classic Jewish hyperbole, which means you exaggerate things. You stretch them out a little bit, and then you make the real and right point as part of the story, but the story is it's so exaggerated and embellished that it makes people smile. That's what Jesus was doing about the inopportune neighbor in our reading this morning. For the neighbor comes by at a very bad time, in the middle of the night. He has guests that have come. He doesn't have any bread. He goes to his neighbor, knocks on the door, and says, "Wake up and get me some bread." Where his neighbor says, "No, go away and don't bother me." But because he keeps knocking, his friend and his neighbor comes down, brings the bread, gives it to him, and the inopportune neighbor then goes ahead and shares with his friend who has arrived late. Jesus also taught another parable, this one about an unjust judge and a widow that had a complaint. She went to him, he wouldn't even hear her. But you know what she did? Being the wise woman that she was, she just kept coming back. In fact, she wore him out with his coming and goings until finally the judge, just to get rid of her, goes ahead and rules in her favor. And that's where Luke sums it all up and says, this was Jesus teaching us to pray and never to give up. I know we Presbyterians, prayer is difficult for us and awkward. We always feel like it's embarrassing because we don't know how to do it very well. Like, for instance, if I asked you right now, please raise your hand if you would like to come up after the sermon is over and pray for all of us in this congregation. Now, I want everybody who's willing, because I might just do this, how many people would be willing to come and pray for the whole congregation after the sermon's over? Okay, so we've got a couple people that would do that, but that's only because they're convicted, not because they want to. You know what I mean? But we Presbyterians are like this. Public prayer and all that kinds of things. I mean, let me tell you how I pray, and maybe that'll be helpful. It's a very simple thing. I invite the Lord God to come in and sit down at the chair. I pretend like he's right here with me, and then I sit beside him, right next to him, and I chat with him about the things that matter to me. About my life, about my concerns, about the stupid things I've done this week, the people's toes I've tramped on. I talk about how wonderful he is and the wonderful things he's done in my life. And you know what? I pray for lots of other people in my life. It doesn't take forever. Do it in the morning or the evening. That seems to be the best time, right before you go to bed or just after you get up. You can use devotionals. They help. They're wonderful. They help to keep us focused. And yes, sometimes your prayers are not going to be answered. And you know what? That's okay, too. Garth Brooks, who didn't live too far away from me when I lived in Enid, Oklahoma, he said, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Well, you know that, and I know that. I can remember when my daughter was about 3 years old. She had a love affair with that little blue flame on the gas stove, or in Scotland, they called it a cooker. And we kept trying to talk her out of it. We told her it was hot. We put her hand up next to it. We did everything that we could do. In fact, I finally got to a point where she was so close that I gave her hand a whack, which I was loath to do. It still didn't stop her. And she just went ahead and finally did it. She got a little burn on her finger. But you know what? She never went and stuck her finger in the flame again. Now, I could have saved her all that, just like the Lord could have saved us 1,000 times from our own foolishness and our own stupidity if we would have offered up our prayers and listened to what God was saying to us. But the bottom line is, prayer isn't always getting what we want. It is discovering what we need. So we need to ask, and we need to seek, and we need to keep on blocking, even though it doesn't seem to be working at the moment. Be persistent, like the inopportune friend or the persistent widow. The bottom line is, God's timing is always impeccable and will be. The only dilemma is we have to be the ones that are patient. I remember knowing that my call at the St. Andrew's UP Church in Butler had come to an end. I knew that in my heart. It was time for me to move on. It was time for them to have a new pastor. But I didn't know where to go next. And I'd been through the process, and I'd been invited to go be a pastor at a church and said no. And I wanted to become the pastor of a couple other churches who said no to me. But the bottom line was, I got an interesting phone interview, a request to come out, and then an offer from a church in, of all places, Enid, Oklahoma. Who knows where Enid, Oklahoma is? I didn't. But they were certainly keen on me, but I wasn't keen on going to Oklahoma. And I prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, here's the bottom line. If you tell me you want me there, I will go. And I'm sitting in traffic. And right in front of me, we're turning left to get on to Main Street in Butler. I turn to go on in Main Street in Butler, and in front of me is an old Suburban, typical what they drive in Oklahoma, rusted out on the bottom. On the back of the license plate, which was Oklahoma license plate, was this tourist thing that said, you gotta go to Oklahoma. You got to go to Oklahoma. I went ahead and told my wife, I don't want to go to Oklahoma, but I have to go to Oklahoma because this license plate told me. She starts giggling and laughing and says, well, I guess we ought to get packed. So I invite you, my friends, let prayer become your steering wheel instead of your spare tire, and it'll make all the difference, both for now and forevermore. Amen.